Before every Steelers game, don't miss the Mike and Dave's Black and Gold pregame show, the best and most comprehensive Pittsburgh pregame show, taking you right up to kickoff.
We're going to be here all day, baby. I like this kind of party.
All the Steelers insiders from the Trib and exclusive Steeler player interviews, plus live reports from the stadiums, all right here on Trib Live Radio. The Mike and Dave's Black and Gold pregame show is brought to you by Mike and Dave's Italian Bread Place, Deli and Catering in Greentree, and Mike and Dave's Boardwalk Sandwich Shop in Brentwood on Sawmill Run Boulevard, right across from Getco. Go online to theitalianbreadplace.com and watch the super sub being made.
Duffy's Beer presents the morning show on Trib Live Radio featuring Ken Laird, Guy Junker, and Tim Benz. 294 Curry Hollow Road, 412-653-BEER. See all of our weekly specials at duffysbeer.com.
The Trib Live Radio Triple Threat.
He wants three. You know that's a trip, triple.
And Ken Laird, Guy Junker, and now Tim Benz right here on Trib Live Radio.
No Bo Bennett at the Penguins morning skate. No, I'm not kidding.
Well, he did administer a few hits. That body contact is it's a real bitch.
No update on as to why he was not at the morning skate, and he was called by the head coach, Mike Johnston, Tim, the best player on the ice.
Lower body soreness, from what I understand.
Is it the Martavis Bryant effect?
We'll await a transcript of Mike Johnston's press conference from the Steelers Media Relations Department.
By the way, Bryant, I think, is trending up to play for the Steelers this week, but Ryan Shazier is not looking very good to play per Wednesday's return, which is very odd. So
talk about blatant lies once again. Oh, it's a stinger. He'll be all right. He's going to be out a month now.
Well, what's weird is he was practicing, but according to reports...
But it was limited.
Limited and in a scout team capacity.
That's accurate.
Yeah, and he's the one that's saying, oh, I'm ready. That's up to the coaches. That's a little bit of a stretch of the truth there. Every athlete thinks he's ready. I mean, you know, you could have a leg hanging on by a thread after being hit by a helicopter, and I think I can go, coach.
Well, I mean, could part of it be the way that Spence and Vince Williams have played in his stead, that they feel like we're just going to err on the side of total caution?
I think no, because he's better.
Good. He is better.
Than both?
And certainly.
Yes.
And certainly you'd like to see... You know, if he has a, I mean, he was a monster. He was the best defensive player in the field in that San Francisco game.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see if that was a fluke or is he really coming around. But
Bo Bennett's absence, I mean, okay, let's say he doesn't play tonight. And by the way, Bobby Farnham is the first one off the ice, so he's going to be in tonight. Beautiful Bobby for the home game against Ottawa, who, by the way, scored 7 goals last night against. Columbus, but they're on a short overnight.
I thought you said Bobby Farnham scored 7.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Ottawa Senators.
They were down early, and he got 3 in the third.
Then he flipped his hockey stick like Tom Lawless.
But I'm talking about them being 0-4. I mean, that's the one thing. 0-3 is terrible, but the whole division stinks right now. I mean, Columbus hasn't won. The Devils haven't won. Penguins haven't won.
As of yesterday, there were 5 teams in the East that were winless, and there were... I take that back. There were 5 teams in the East that were 0-3, 6 that were winless, and then 2 in the West.
I believe the Cincinnati
Flyers
Bengals,
had a nice win over the Blackhawks last night, 3-0.
Did they?
Yeah.
Bengals and the Rangers have clinched their divisions, I think, at this point, haven't they? Now, Guy, we were talking a lot yesterday about the Penguins and their issues on your travel date.
Hey, real quick, the Bruins won, right? The
Bruins did win last night.
Bruins won.
6-2
and
in Colorado.
Did Connor McDavid get suspended already? I thought he was going to get a suspension before he got his first
goal. What happened with
him? Did it, Johnny Oduya?
No.
I thought it was a bad board.
Go watch it online. A Zach Ronaldo move.
Huh?
A Zach Ronaldo move. A Matt Cook move.
It was from pretty far away. It was a boarding as far as I'm concerned, and I thought it might get a one-gamer. If it was a different player, it would have, but they can't have him get – he did score, I think, later that game, so you can't have him suspended or thrown out before he gets a goal.
Well, he's Canadian. They'll be praising him on Hockey Night in Canada for – What a great toughness here, Connor McDavid. This guy's not afraid to get a charge and board a guy between the numbers.
Right. Don Cherry's stroking it on TV because of that. But if it was a Swedish guy, he'd lose his mind and say deport him.
Yeah.
Not like
he's
that
got
Evgeny...
the visor on, and he's not afraid with the visor on.
Not like that Evgeny Malkin with the low bridge. What a dive. The guy ducks out of the way of every hit.
Well, you know, Toronto's Saturday. They stink. So hopefully
they get the right coach over there, though.
If you can win tonight, maybe you get back on track and make it 2-3 and start over next week. But you go to 0-4 tonight. I mean, and it's early in the year, but you know, they fall to 0. When's the last time they were 0-4?
Great question.
When the Penguins?
When what's his name got fired?
Linka, yeah.
Ivan Linka. That's how long ago it's been since they lost their first four games.
Do you think if they lose tonight, let's say it's a 5-1 skunking, Mike Hoffman comes in here and puts a hat trick up on them, they could fire the coach tomorrow? Tonight? Could we have a breaking news?
I think the pressure will be building. I would be surprised to see it happen tomorrow, though.
So I'm still laughing at Ken's suggestion yesterday to hire back Ivan Linka.
He won't let this go. Ivan Linka passed away in 2004,
yeah, you didn't
and
know
I
that.
Wasn't aware of it.
Oh, my God.
These guys are just merciless.
Oh, my God.
I didn't follow the guy's career after he left. He was here four games.
It was actually very innocent.
It was a car crash, wasn't it?
It was a car crash, yeah. He was going like 90 miles an hour, and he hit a truck.
and I felt bad about it. And Taylor's looking up all the details of his death and giving them to me on Post-it notes throughout the show.
Ken said, what's Ivan doing these days anyway? And I said, not much.
As you can tell, we had a great show without you guys.
Well, it's
we just talked about it. A Margaret Shortridge, right? Right. what was her famous line about somebody dying on the air?
Oh, that was Groucho Marx.
His condition is
no, it wasn't
worse
Margaret Shortridge. It was Beverly Byer.
His condition is getting worse. He's dead.
Groucho Marx has taken a turn for the worse tonight. In fact, he's dead.
Yeah. Ivan just turned into an oncoming semi.
Yeah.
Well, news of his death was greatly exaggerated to me. I wasn't aware.
The other thing worse is Thor Tolo made someone dead who was still alive. Isn't Bill Burton's dead, isn't he? He said that one night.
I've probably
Bill Burton's still alive.
Is he dead?
Thor's career's dead, but Bill Burton's alive.
Oh, jeez. All right, more Penguins in a moment. Let's deliver on this Antonio Brown promise.
How would Thor have been with Mike Tomlin? Remember those exchanges between Thor and Coach Cower?
Yeah, not good.
Oh, my God. How would Thor have been with Mike Tomlin? That would have been some of the most awkward social interaction. Were you even here, Ken, for Thor?
I barely.
He was here
in 02. He was around, but on his way out.
Cower hated Thor so much, he was actually happy when I would ask a question to shut Thor up.
Cower didn't dislike you, did he?
At the beginning, he did, yeah.
By the way, I saw you chatting up James Harrison yesterday. So
yeah, that didn't go well.
No.
I was just asking him about that play with Woodhead. Remember the play with Woodhead that we talked about?
Oh, the nice play he made on the sidelines, yeah.
That's what I thought.
He wasn't too thrilled about it?
No. Just out there doing my job. You know, cover. I thought it was a nice play. I thought it was important. You and Cockrell stopped him before he could get the first down. Then you knocked him back a few and ended up being a 60-yard field goal. You know, I asked him, is that film study? No, I'm just, where else am I going to go? He's out there. I got to go out there. All right, dink, fine.
I'm trying to think back of the game-winning drive. Antonio didn't catch a pass in that drive, did he? Hayward Bay did. Heath Miller did. He scrambled for 24 yards running. I don't believe he
did.
A part of it at all.
In fact, in this piece, he talks about the Wheaton pass and the role he had, which is that of a decoy. And you can tell he's not so thrilled about that. Here's Antonio Brown, diva wide receiver. In full transcript.
Unedited,
I think. Unless Taylor got his mitts on it here on Trib Live Radio.
I don't know, man. I didn't think I got the ball enough. But, you know, I always got to stay positive. Obviously, my guy's not a quarterback, so Mike Vick out there, and I think he's just playing conservative to make sure we get the win. You know, he's not going to take too many shots or try to do no extra. He's going to stick to the script and do the best he can.
Would you like to see them let him loose a little more?
I don't know, man. As long as we win, you know, that's all it's about. You know, obviously, you know, I want to get the ball and help the team win, and that's always my passion. But some things out of my control, I only could go out there and play the game how it's supposed to be played.
Getting frustrated by it?
Just stay positive, man. It's a long season. I'm still, you know, up on that chart. So just got to, you know, find a way to win. You know, our business is winning. The rest of the stuff will take care of itself.
Tom, why do you think you're not getting the ball more, or just as much?
Well, you know, obviously our quarterback's not at quarterback. And I think Mike Vick's just playing within the game plan. I think he's just playing conservative and trying to do whatever it takes for us to win, not trying to make a mistake and that's about it.
Do you think that'll change after seeing those last two drives?
I don't know. You know, I just think I know he's not saying not to throw me the ball. I'm sure he wanted to give me the ball, but I'm sure he's just going through his progression and try to do the positive thing to help us to get him in good position.
Would you like to throw him the ball like you did?
I told him that's how you throw the ball.
He had no trouble catching the lefty, did he?
Yeah, he went up and made a good play, man. That was exciting. I kicked with him about it, and you know, it's all fun when you win it, you know. We just enjoyed the positive.
You threw that ball even though he was covered. Does he need to throw you the ball even sometimes when you're covered?
Yeah, he got to take some shots, man. I told him, trust me a little bit. Let me make some plays, and let's get a victory. You don't have to be that hard.
Is that the most single coverage you saw against San Diego? It seemed like they were single up a lot.
I think on some certain third downs, they kind of had a little safety help. But for the early in the downs, you know, it was a lot of single one-on-one, and that's what we got to try to exploit.
What did he say when you told him that?
Oh, he started laughing. He thought it was pretty funny, but I think he wanted to give me the ball. I don't think he's not trying to give me the ball. It's just, you know, he's new out there. He's haven't been here from the spring or training camp. So he's just trying to do what's right just to put the team in position to make sure he don't mess up.
Do you think we could see more wrinkles in the offense until Ben gets back?
I don't know. I just think we're going to do whatever it takes to make sure Coach can call whatever everyone's comfortable with to put everybody in a positive position to make sure we make some play.
You had to be happy to see Ben out there throwing.
Yeah, real happy. He's like, he looked great, man. I still think he got a little way to go, but he definitely showing signs of coming back.
Ramon Foster said you guys actually ran a lot more deep routes than maybe what showed up on TV or in the stadium because they weren't thrown deep. You guys ran deep a lot. Is that right?
Yeah, we had a lot of deep shots. We just ain't throwing. You know, I think we hit one of them with Marcus Wheaton and stop and go, and had me in a slot on the over to kind of bring the safety down. But just got to find a way, man. As long as we keep winning, that's all it's about. But it's evident I do need the ball more. So
yeah, you don't like being that decoy in the slot, do you?
If I have to, man, you know, I'm a team player. You know, if it's going to bring the safety down, the loss of some guys get some one-on-ones to win, I'm all for it.
If you guys keep winning, is it easier to keep seven on the sideline?
Sure No. We can't keep seven on the sideline. But we got to keep winning, but we got to have seven to come back.
But until he's 100%, yeah. I mean, is it not to rush him back?
Absolutely. You know, we're going to need Mike Vick to be smart. We're going to need to make plays and we need to do everything we do to keep this thing positive till you return.
Defense isn't discovering you for the first time or anything, not defending you any more than they were in the first place. Are a lot of the difficulties getting you the ball come with the pre-snap adjustments that Ben would be making, you know, more almost telepathic?
I just think Mike Vick look over and see me double. He just think, oh, I can't go there. Or pre-snap, they might show someone else single cover. So he might go to the ball positive matchup, the easiest throw when guys one-on-one. I think he's going to be fired up. And I think they got a lot of good cornerbacks. Obviously, Patrick Peterson. I think that's always a great matchup. Those guys, defensive ball hawk, their front four is getting after quarterback. So I think they're going to try to heat us up with pressure. Obviously, put a lot of guys in the box with Le'Veon and try to make some play.
Will you be able to help out this defense and pick up on some things that they're doing that you might be familiar with?
Man, B.A. haven't been here so long. Hey, one thing I know about him, he's going to throw the ball down the field, and he don't call the same play twice. So I'm sure he's going to be fired up to come around here and light us up.
What kind of battle is it when you go up with Peterson?
Well, it's an intense battle. Well, he's a top-notch corner, and he's coming off some positive games. You know, I think he jumped the dig route. He made a nice interception against Calvin Johnson on the back shoulder. So I'm sure he's going to be fired up. And I know he know we got a Michael Vick at quarterback. He's going to try to, you know, come after the ball and play aggressive.
We got a Mike Vick at quarterback. He's going to come over the top and try to make some plays. There's the full Antonio Brown. After hearing it, Guy.
Full being the opposite.
Yeah. It doesn't bother me as much as reading it. We know what he's like, so you know what I would just like to hear a guy say, look, these are tough times right now. We got to win games any way we can. If that means Vick is more comfortable throwing to other guys or I don't get as many balls as I would from Ben, so be it, as long as we win. That's what I want to hear a guy say.
I know, as I said to Ken yesterday, before these comments were made, before we got off the air, a not-so-little bird in that locker room, so you can try to figure it out. One of the
Daniel McCullers?
A not-so-little bird let it be known to some in the media that Antonio was, quote, acting like a little bitch on the sidelines, was the phrase that was used.
Ah.
So this is not coming from a place of let me just disseminate my message through the media.
Well, they're lucky they won, because if they had lost this game and he's pulling this, and he as you describe it, or that player describes it, this could have been a bigger deal. Might still be if they lose the next two games.
It's the main reason LeGarrette Blount was left off. I mean, not just the complaining, he walked out, but it's for the same reason.
Yeah.
I didn't get the ball enough on a night when a guy runs for 200 yards.
And I don't know how Vic takes this. I mean, he did say in there a couple times, I understand he's probably just doing what the game plan calls for, but you know, if you're Mike Vic and you see these digs.
Yeah. And he's got enough to worry about and is struggling enough to worry about trying to keep him happy. Just complete the pass to anybody. If someone's open, throw it to him. You don't have to worry about what number it is. I tweeted out, I thought watching that game, you can't throw every pass to AB. And that's when I said, you got to start looking at Heath Miller some. He had one target in the game before. One target. I'm not saying you know.
Would it affect your signing Antonio to a long-term contract after this one's done, or does the talent just way overseed any of these
problems?
3 years,
he's got the most catches and most yards in the league. I mean, that's, you know, and he, you know, now some of this, like I said, this would bother me more if this was a man on an island. These are wide receivers are all like this, and he's not happy with his contract to begin with, and obviously not piling up big numbers isn't going to help him in his contractual situation.
Right. Well, Tim, you talked to Ramon Foster again about the question you asked in there about the receivers running deep routes. Like they were.
I don't know if we have that or not, but do we have that or not from Ramon?
I think we have my full Ramon, which is not.
No, that's your Ramon?
My Ramon, okay. Instead. We both got him
just
for a little bit.
Just done the full Monty. Yeah.
So we can play that too. But in other words, Haley's calling deep passes. They're trying to get Antonio deep. So is Haley upset that Vic's not pulling the trigger? That's what I wonder. Is Haley on the sideline saying, God, Mike, you got to recognize single coverage and throw. We'll talk to Haley today. Maybe he's not. Maybe Haley will say, Antonio, shut up. But do you think part of it, Todd Haley says, yeah, I'm sending these guys deep. I wish Mike would take a chance or two.
Maybe it's not just Antonio. Maybe it's Marcus Wheaton. Maybe that wasn't the only time Marcus Wheaton was open.
Right.
But think about it. There were, what, three deep balls thrown? And the way Ramon Foster said it on his radio show, and I followed up with him on tape yesterday and asked him, was, I heard what you said, and do you think that maybe those of us watching at home or even in the stadium didn't notice how many times guys were going deep? Was it more than just the three that were attempted? He said yes. So it sounds like to me that those guys were gassing it down the field a lot, and whether they were open or not, who knows, but Vic didn't see them. And maybe that's the fact that Vic is like 5'11", and Ben Roethlisberger is 6'5", and he can see over top and down the field on everything, and Vic can't.
Mm-hmm.
So that might have something to do with it. But, you know, I do think that's big that Martavis Bryant is coming back, because I can't remember. Was it Roddy White and Julio Jones, those guys there when Vic was in Atlanta, or was Vic gone by the time Julio Jones got there?
Vic was probably gone for Julio.
But Roddy, maybe Roddy at the beginning of his career? You know, maybe he's used to working with bigger wide receivers that he can – huh?
Crumpler? Crumpler.
Well, he's a tight end. But I'm just saying, you know, guys down the field, wide receivers down the field. He loves Martavis. You noticed that right away.
Yeah,
game one
true.
Against Buffalo. Maybe he needs to see a big receiver down the field to trust that he's going to catch the ball when he puts it out there. Wheaton's little. Antonio Brown is little.
Wait till Martavis has three touchdown catches this weekend, and Antonio's throwing a total fit on the sideline.
That's going to be beautiful.
They'll be up by 30 or something, and Brown will be kicking Gatorade coolers.
Well, remember
and going
the,
Sean Rodriguez.
I mentioned this stat a couple weeks ago when Bettis was getting his ring, the opening game that he got three touchdowns on five yards or whatever, minus 5 yards, some ridiculous number, because I think it was Deuce Staley.
Yeah,
then.
Deuce
was,
kept going all the way down the
running
field.
Running up and down the field, and then they'd get inside the five and they'd give it to Bettis.
And remember, we all thought at that point, oh, this Deuce Staley, what a good guy. He's not saying anything negative. He's just letting Jerome come in and take those touchdowns. That lasted about one more week.
Yeah, until we did the remote from his car dealership thing. Remember the All-Star Ford out there in McKeesport, and he didn't show up? Remember that? We did it
sort of
out there.
Remember that, yeah.
Yeah, that was the Deuce.
Mike says...
he was a Deuce.
No, that was Najee Davenport.
You ever find those earrings?
He was
no?
the real Deuce. In the laundry cart. Duffy's Beer presents the morning show here on Trip Life Radio.
The dump truck.
Duffy's Beer has great specials. You got to get there for their pumpkin and Oktoberfest beers before they're gone. All their weekly specials, including This month, Miller Lite, Coors Lite, and Ying 24-pack cans, just $14.99, your South Hills headquarters. Duffysbeer.com and 412-653-BEER. Mike emails, he says, Tim, if you thought the Ivan Hlinka thing was bad, I hope you remember Staggy and Bob Airy making fun of the Hobie Baker kid, Hobie Baker himself dying in the accident.
Of course I remember that. I don't know. I mean, you just...
Are you saying my Ivan Hlinka was not, as bad
no,
as the
not,
was Staggy?
I didn't even think of that. That
a lot of people
emailer.
Don't know Hobie Baker played his last hockey game in Pittsburgh. I forget the details on it. He died
against
in a plane
the
crash, right?
Yeah.
No, the Hornets weren't around then yet.
Hmm.
Some professional team or something. He might have been a professional against a local amateur team or something. But
I forget what Staggy said about it. But the fact that he laughed about it, I mean, I think he died in 1918, so he's been dead for 100 years. So that takes away a little bit of the. It was quite a moment, though. I do remember that.
Yeah, I forgot about it.
That was one of the great moments in Pittsburgh broadcasting history.
When Lanny was with the James Earl Jones thing when James Earl Ray died.
Remember
that one?
Yes. How did it even come up?
Matt emails.
I think someone told him on the broadcast, he was doing the game, that James Earl Ray died.
And he said James Earl Jones.
And he said James Earl Jones.
But how does James Earl Ray get woven into the baseball fabric? James Earl Jones, I get, Field of Dreams and all that, but.
Jeez.
I don't know.
Hey, it's a quiet, slow moment of the game. Let's bring up James Earl Ray.
Hey, I mean, if you're on the air enough, that kind of stuff's going to happen.
How about the Bruins guy, Jack Edwards, who dropped the Searhan?
That was asinine.
For Matt Cook, you know?
Yeah. Well, Jack is prone to the occasional overstatement.
Matt says. The email. In regards to Antonio Brown, guys, a team player just does not complain about not getting the ball enough. I do think he is all about statistics, doesn't care about the most important thing, which is the Super Bowl. Nobody made him sign the contract he did a few years ago. Stop pouting and play football.
You know, we've seen things, and this was the big issue with Bert Blyleven and Chuck Tanner. Bert Blyleven wanted complete games. He didn't want to come out. Now, I like a competitive fire enough in a guy, but not when it starts causing a rift between management or other players on the team, or it appears that you're more worried about your own numbers than what else is going on. And that's why that was not a marriage made in heaven.
Hmm. Matt says, do AB's teammates like the way he acts? I don't know how they feel about him.
He's catching touchdowns and winning them games. I don't think they care.
I remember when he and Wallace and Sanders were all together.
I don't think Sanders liked him that much. I got a vibe that those two didn't get along.
When they first were all assembled together, they liked each other. When
they were young
AB
money.
Passed
New
Sanders,
money assemble!
Yeah, when it became clear that they liked AB more than Sanders, and then at that same time was when Wallace was on the way out because he was going to get the big money somewhere else, then it fractured. Kind of towards, I'm talking about like... late in 2010, when AB got the two big passes against the Jets and the Ravens in the playoffs, like going into that Super Bowl week is when you remember. And then they all stunk in the Super Bowl. All three of them stunk in the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
against the Packers.
I remember asking Sanders about Antonio Brown's Twitter followers. He had passed them or something, and I was just trying to goof around with him. And he was like dead serious. He's like, "Good for Antonio." Like he just very dismissive.
Yes,
they had a little battle going on.
I remember 2011 was testy.
Yeah.
You know, and then eventually Sanders left.
Jericho Cotchery was a good guy to have in there between, you know, kind of kept them all together. Now,
remember, you also had
Jericho Cotchery.
Yeah,
you also had Hines, you know.
He was hanging on.
Yeah, Hines hanging on. And how is Hines going to be worked into this?
Old money.
Yeah. Definitely old.
Joe in Penn Township. My brother was at the Steelers game on Monday, guys. He sent me a text during the first half to tell me Vic was missing all kinds of wide open receivers down the field. Seeing the whole screen there, I'm sure that was true.
The worst pass he threw of the night was he's rolling to his left, no pressure at all, tons of time, and Le'Veon Bell's open out right in the middle of the field, nobody near him, and he missed him. And you couldn't have had less pressure, the receiver couldn't have been more open, and it couldn't have been a 20-yard pass, and he missed him.
Hey, big new stat for Antonio Brown. You guys ready for this one? Courtesy of the Steelers public relations team. This Sunday, Antonio Brown aims for his fifth straight game with 100 receiving yards against NFC teams.
Did they tweet that out?
Could be five straight against NFC
Did
teams
they tweet
this
that
Sunday.
Out?
Antonio
yes.
tweeted out. They just
oh my god, this is now it's become shameless.
Five straight 100 against NFC teams. Wait till it becomes NFC West teams.
Now this is really making
at
me
home,
think. Guy. Aren't you thinking the same? Like, did Mike get a hold of Bert and the guys in his office and say, do something about this? I mean, this is weird now. Now they're tweeting out random AB manufactured statistics just to make him feel good.
Five straight against NFC teams.
Is that Bert's feed or is that the team feed?
That's the number two in charge over there.
That'll be Dom.
Dom.
Okay. I get so mad at the, well, God, not, is that not funny. Just, not just, I mean, anything, even, look at the recap one time. ESPN's bad for this. Any game, any sport where you have the box score and then you have the recap, and they'll say, this is the first time that a player has struck out six of the last eight batters in a 9-0 win since 2014 or 2000. I'm like,
right.
Big deal! It's 2 years ago. If it's 1951, then you write it. If not, leave it go.
Right. There's no filler on this show. We all give you the stats that matter. Back to the Penguins. Fleury will be in net tonight, his fourth straight game. Any problem for you guys that we've overloading the workload on the
flower?
No, games
have been spread out.
Yeah, games have been spread out, so I don't have a problem there. One thing that I wrote for InsidePittsburghSports.com was, along with all the other things that are problematic, was starting off 0-3, trying to settle out your lines, figure out what your power play, figure out what your PK is, your pairings, etc. You also just don't feel good enough about your team to put your backup goalie in there and get him a start for the first time since camp ended. I mean, like, you know,
yeah.
Especially Zatkov, who wasn't he lousy in his last game in the preseason, if I remember correctly?
He was shaky.
The one Detroit game. Where,
yeah, right?
Yeah, I think it was.
I mean, don't you want him to get that taste out of his mouth and start seeing a little bit of rubber here? But you can't, because you got to get your first win, and Fleury gives you a better chance. Not like he was real good last night or two nights ago, but he's still better than Zatkov.
Some good news today. Pascal Dupuis was skating before the practice, which may be ahead of what we thought would be a 5-week return or whatever it was. So we'll see if anything comes out of that. But no Bo Bennett at morning skate, so we're going to find out, you know, what the line changes would be if he doesn't play tonight.
Yeah, well, if he's the best player on the ice, he probably hurt his back carrying the rest of the team.
Sidney Crosby was asked about Jose Bautista's bat flip as the star of Canada. And Sid said, if there was time for one, that was it. Maybe Sid will go bat flip, stick flip tonight.
I don't think younger guys get as angry about stuff. As, I mean, those are the kinds of things that when we played sports caused fights. And it may still rankle you some, but I don't think it bothers people as much.
Do you guys have confidence the Penguins could dig out of a real bad start? I mean, I don't know if this is considered real bad already. 0-3 is not good, but let's say...
No, considering the rest of the division and even the conference right now, I don't think 0-3 is that bad.
Let's say they're like 2-8.
Well, they were in, 13th place when they fired Therrien? 12th place when they fired Therrien?
Was that Christmas time?
It was February, right?
Valentine's Day.
Oh, okay. Yeah, nice.
Or I think maybe not Valentine's Day because...
Groundhog Day or something.
The first game that Dan coached was an afternoon game with the Islanders, so it was right. Either President's Day or Martin Luther King Day or one of those days. So if it was February, it would have been what? President's Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't seem to have much of an identity right now. That could come. I mean, that could come in a game, right, or one road trip, or sometimes things just click and then you start to roll. I could definitely see this team getting on a roll. They have the talent to do so.
The lost part of the analysis in the let's fire the coach to give the team a kick and have them buy in more is that, and it'll be just like it was when Dan replaced Therrien. Let's not forget that when Dan replaced Therrien, it took a matter of, God, it was like, what, a couple days?
Did he lose his first game?
No. He lost his first game, yes. Like Guy said, it was an afternoon game on the island, and it didn't look like all that much had changed. But then it was really quick when they got Bill Guerin and Chris Kunitz. Like, they got those guys before the deadline. So what's the big move that's going to change them on the ice besides the coach?
Eric Fair's return? I don't know.
Did they lose their first game to the Islanders?
Yeah, they did.
Did they?
Yeah, they did. And then they went on a long win streak.
Jonathan Bomboli has a self-examination piece in the Trib today. I'm going to go through his reasons for the dismal start. You guys give me a quick yay or nay, whether you agree. Defensemen on the blue line in terms of their defensive core and how they're playing defensively. Ben Lovejoy is talking about breakdowns and turnovers in the neutral zone, proper gaps, et cetera, et cetera.
Cole said a lot of that on his radio show last night, too, about not keeping proper gaps.
I think that's a minor thing from what I've seen so far. And I didn't see any of the Montreal game.
They've allowed 8 goals in 3 games. You know, so if you told me eight goals, am I right on that? 8 goals or 8? Yeah, 8 goals in 3 games. So, you know what, for this defense, 8 goals in 3
that's
games,
great.
I thought it could have been worse than that.
Yep. blue line in terms of how they're producing or sparking the offense. Mike Johnson wants his forwards with the help of an active D, and nothing of the sort has taken place, Bumbuli writes. According to Chris Kunitz, when you have the puck, you can't turn it over, and if you're trying to support, you got to go there and talk to them, make sure he knows you have space or you have his back. Have you seen that as well? The blue line letting them down from a let's join the rush, let's get through the neutral zone clean point of view.
I just don't know how that they're not good at that.
That could be a problem.
Plus, like we just talked about, you know, they're so concerned about not allowing goals, which they are also poor at preventing, you know, to suggest that they have to go out there and join the rush all the time. It's just, aside from two of them, I don't know if that's in their nature.
Power play is 0 for 9. Big deal, little deal, no deal.
That's a big deal.
That's absolutely a huge deal.
3 for 11 for their opponents. As Bomboli says, swap those numbers. Your record might be different. Execution. Who was a coach that said I was in favor of it?
John McKay.
John McKay's execution. Sidney Crosby saying that is a, you know, it's a catch-all description, but giveaways, the Penguins lost the giveaway battle in the Montreal game 11-4. They lost in Arizona 5-2. Do you trust those stats? Sometimes those giveaway stats on the final sheet, I don't really.
Oh, giveaways at home. Sidney Crosby has yet to commit his first giveaway on Pittsburgh ice.
Well,
if
that's
you,
nice.
If you seriously,
that's an Antonio Brown-esque stat.
No, I mean in his career.
Five straight games. With no
I think every time I go and I look at the play-by-play sheet or the stat sheet when they're at home, I'm still waiting for Sidney Crosby to have one in the giveaway column.
You know, execution's kind of a vague term, but
hey, you watch shots on goal and shot buildings too. Those numbers aren't accurate.
Ottawa had 5 20-goal scorers last year. They can light it up. No excuse, though. I mean, this is a team that's a non-playoff team. I guess they made a push on last year with the Hamburglar, but or did they make the playoffs? They did get in, didn't they?
Yeah.
Then lost. I forget. Who'd they lose to? I don't even remember the postseason for the Senate. Anyway, they're not a bad team, but they're playing on a back-to-back night. You need a point tonight. You need a 3-on-3 overtime win or whatever you need to do to scrape out a something on the sheet.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it.
Big game tonight. SportsTalk@TribWeb.com. You can email the show. Ken Laird, Tim Benz, and Guy Junker here on Trib Live Radio. Brian says, I was at the game Monday night as well, guys. Back to the Steelers. Quite a few times I felt Antonio Brown had every right to be frustrated because he was wide open and Vic wouldn't even look his way.
My question in that always is, what happened on that play, though? If the guy's wide open and you throw an incomplete pass somewhere else or take a sack, then you have a... If you complete a pass to somebody else, shut up. If there's more than one guy open,
right.
You know, you don't have to look at him first and foremost every time.
Mike in Scranton says, that thing that Sid said about the bat flip is the most controversial thing he's ever said in his career.
It's true.
It is true.
All right, we got Dave Damaschek coming on next of the West Coast. Dave and Ike Taylor are big buddies now at the NFL Network, so we'll ask Dave how Ike's behaving. We got a special show with Ike tomorrow night, by the way, in Cranberry. I know it's high school football night, but also going to be another one of our special Ike Taylor shows on remote at the Sports Grill in Cranberry. I'll be out with John Harris tomorrow night. Hope you can come on and join us. I believe it's 7 o'clock, Josh, or 8 p.m. tomorrow night? 8 p.m. start time tomorrow night. We'll be out watching all the baseball action. Will be the game one of the ALCS starting tomorrow night. And, of course, college football gets underway on Friday, too. We're going to pick five games tomorrow. Some big college games this weekend with the opponents for Penn State and West Virginia, both being highly ranked, Baylor and Ohio State. So some big games this weekend. Maybe we can talk about those before the day is done here, too, guys. Guy, I don't know if you watched much of the Penn State game this weekend. You were traveling all over the place.
No, I was at the game.
Oh, you were still there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I was at a high school game Friday, a Penn State game Saturday, the Steelers game Monday night.
What a life.
Well, yeah, I'm running on empty right now. But
do you give Penn State any chance to shock the Buckeyes at the Horseshoe this week?
They had a great run at them last year and should have beat them. Malfunctioning instant replay equipment.
Is Ohio State a little shaky, though? Would this be?
I want to see who's playing. I haven't looked at an injury report. I mean, just got off the plane before we come in the air now. But, you know, the top two running backs have been out. They haven't been getting the they got two key defensive players that have been out. I don't know what's up with the offensive line. It was nice to see Andrew Nelson come back next week. But I think Ohio State, stranger things have happened. Not at the Horseshoe, though. I don't see this team beating them.
It'd be a hell of a James Franklin
spreads
win.
Spreads 21, right?
17.5, but we're picking it. And Baylor in West Virginia, 21.5. Wow. Big spread there for the Mountaineers as the blooms off their rose a bit here after the last couple weeks. All right, but we'll talk some college later in the program. Dave Damischuk talking Steelers with us next, and the noon hour of the Four Horsemen Hour to come. We're all brought to you by Duffy's Beer in Pleasant Hills. Tim Benz likes their vapes, and Guy Junker likes everything else. Beer, pop, snacks, home brewing supplies.
Lincoln would have loved the vapes. Got him off those Czechoslovakian cigarettes.
Maybe Johnston will be vaping on the bench tonight just to calm down a little bit. NFL talk next.
Duffy's Beer and much more in Pleasant Hills. 412-653-BEER. See all of our weekly specials at duffysbeer.com. And get your pumpkin and Oktoberfest beers before they're gone. Your South Hills headquarters for beer, pop, snacks, vapes, home brewing supplies, and all your party and tailgating needs for this week's game. Duffy's Beer and much more in Pleasant Hills. And online at duffysbeer.com.